In these days, we're talking about fulfilling your destiny. Tony Evans gives the following definition in his book, Detours. Destiny is the customized life calling for which God has equipped and ordained us in order to bring Him the greatest glory and the maximum expansion of His kingdom. My prayer for some time has been for our congregation and actually for the body of Christ. Lord, release your people to fulfill their destiny. And this past week, the Lord brought me to Isaiah 57 and verse 14, where in the context of Israel's idolatry and their going away from their destiny and the path God had for them, the Lord says, prepare the way, take the stumbling block out of the way of my people. What was the stumbling block of their day that needed to be removed? And how would the prophet have any word for that? It would be the very word of the Lord. Those things which hinder us, God is saying they all need to be removed. Whatever's hindering you, whatever's hindering me, if there is any hindrance at all, God wants it to be removed. Amen? I said amen? Amen. So God wants us to be free and released to our pathway of fulfilling God's destiny for our lives. Now, one major stumbling block on the pathway to our destiny can be our past. Say, our past. Our past. And in particular, our upbringing. Now, every family has its share of dysfunction. Anybody agree with that? Okay. Every family has its share of dysfunction. And it might cause some of us to ask this question. Does God use people from messed up families? Yes. Well, we're dismissed. You already got the right answer. No, hang in there. This sermon series, we're going to trace the life story of Joseph. Now, I want us to consider that Joseph was from a messed up family. As a matter of fact, let's start with his father, Jacob. You got Abraham, you got Isaac, you got Jacob. And Jacob had 12 sons and one daughter. And those 12 sons are the 12 tribes of Israel. Jacob was renamed Israel and so on. Actually, Jacob was from a messed up family too. Let's talk about him first. Jacob grew up getting what he wanted out of life through deception. He was a master manipulator. As a matter of fact, he and his mother, get this, conspired and came up with a plan to lie and deceive his father, Jacob, and trick him into giving him a blessing that his older brother should have received. Because that happened, Esau hated Jacob, and vowed to kill him once dad had passed on. So Jacob ran for his life. So Jacob is now a fugitive from his own family. He goes to work for and live with a relative named Laban. While there, he had children by four different women. Not a good idea. And two of them were sisters. That's right. Jacob married two sisters, Rachel and Leah. Now, what all of this did, among other things, is create an atmosphere of competition, jealousy, tension, and just utter chaos in the family that Joseph grew up in. Further, two of Joseph's brothers were mass murderers. Because a man had violated their sister Dinah, Simeon and Levi devised a deceptive plan. Are you hearing this deceptive thing again? They devised a deceptive plan to avenge her. They told the family of the man who had violated her that the only way he could have their sister in marriage would be that all the males in their city would be circumcised. And so they all agreed. And then we read this in Genesis 34, 25. Now it came to pass on the third day when they were in pain that two of his sons, Simeon and Levi, Dinah's brothers, each took his sword and came boldly upon the city and killed all the males. And then there's Joseph's eldest brother, Reuben, who had sexual relations with one of his father's wives. And let's not forget his brother Judah, who had sexual relations with his daughter-in-law, who was posing as a prostitute. Would you agree with me? This is one messed up family. Furthermore, Joseph was hated by his brothers because of their father's favoritism of him. We read in Genesis 37, verse 3, "Now Israel," that's again Jacob's name, "loved Joseph more than all of his children, because he was the son of his old age. Also, he made him a tunic or a coat of many colors. But when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brothers, they hated him and could not speak peaceably to him." Now, Jacob's favoritism of Joseph was very obvious. This coat of many colors, the other brothers didn't get, but Joseph did. He was special. This coat of many colors was a constant reminder to his brothers that Joseph was Dad's favorite. And the Bible says they hated him and they never, here's the word, they never had a kind word for him. Jacob's family then was also filled with animosity. So you think about Joseph's family. There were people in his family who had committed incest. There were people in his family who had committed sexual immorality. There were people in his family who had mercilessly murdered a lot of men. And then he came from a place of constant tension, jealousy, anger, and hatred. They were messed up. Yet, God had a unique purpose for Joseph. In spite of the fact that Joseph was in a messed up family, God chose him for a special purpose. So the answer, and you already got it, is yes, God uses people from messed up families. Amen? However, we need to ask a question. How do we keep our past from being too much a part of our present so that it hinders our pathway to our destiny? How do we do this? Is it automatic? Or are there some things we need to do in order to be set free and released from our past so that we can get on the pathway to our destiny unhindered? I've got three or four things to share with you to answer that question. Number one, embrace your new life in Christ. Embrace your new life in Christ. In 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17 we read, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ..." Now, what does that mean? It means that there has come a place in your life when you realized you were a sinner. And not only that, but you recognize you could never please God and get into heaven because of your own goodness. And you realize that the Son of God came and suffered and bled and died on the cross for you, was buried and rose again, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. And you have put your faith and trust in Him and Him alone to save you. If you've not done that, I trust you'll do it even now. You need to be born again. You must be born again. If we have been born again, then we need to embrace our new life in Christ. You see, it is by faith that we believe in our recreation. If you know Christ, you are not the person you used to be. As a matter of fact, the old is gone and the new has come. Praise God. It is by faith in the Word of God that we are able to be untethered from our past. And it is by faith that we develop a love relationship with Jesus Christ. So if you're saved today, if you know Christ, embrace your new life. Because there's something that happened when you were born again that is able to separate you from everything that might hinder you. Are you with me? All right. So embrace your new life in Christ and learn who you are in Him. Secondly, embrace your past. Embrace your past, especially as it relates to your family. Now, this does not mean that we embrace or condone sin or evil. But as Peter Scazzero in his book, Emotionally Healthy Spirituality, says, being emotionally and spiritually healthy involves embracing God's choice to birth us into a particular family, in a particular place, at a particular moment in history. We had nothing to do with any of those things. Our time in history was God's choice. The parents we have and the siblings we have were God's choices for us. We must embrace that and God's sovereign choice in these matters. Now, for some of you, embracing your family of origin might raise some difficulties in your mind and in your heart. Some of us look at our messed up past and it might be a certain level, and others it's almost to the point of being unbearable, humanly speaking. So I do not want to minimize anything you've been through, but what I want to magnify is what God can do no matter what your past has been. I want you to know that God did not put you in the family He did to destroy you. But He put you in the family He did to demonstrate His amazing grace and power in your life. I want you, in embracing your past, to embrace your past in the light of who God is. You see, we desperately need to know who God is. And I'm just going to give you two simple things to summarize what we need to believe the Bible says about our God. First of all, God is good. Say that with me. God is good. Now, some of you have had a hard time putting a good God with your difficult past. But I want you to understand that according to the Word of God, God is good. Therefore, trust His character. Trust His character. Satan's goal to get us off our pathway to destiny and walking with Christ as we ought is to simply get us to doubt that God is good. Just a little bit of doubt that God is just a little bit less than good. He may not be a horrible God. As a matter of fact, He might be good to others, but in my case, He's just, how could He possibly be the good God that I've been told about? And if you believe that lie, you are in the clutches of the enemy. God is good. Trust His character. The second thing is simply this: God is great. God is great. Trust His power. Trust His sovereign plan for your life. Remember, we told you last week that to be destined is that your future life is being lived out according to a plan. And I challenged you last week to answer the question, are our lives, being lived out according to a plan? And the answer is yes. And you have a hard time looking at your past and saying, how could this be part of the plan? But I'm here to tell you, based on the integrity of Scripture and what the Word of God says, it is according to plan. That doesn't mean that the evil that has occurred or the deep disappointments and hurts that have occurred to you were good or that God wanted you to hurt or be destroyed. Absolutely not. But God is good and God is great. And we must trust His plan. Therefore, one of the first steps to getting on the pathway to your destiny and being released from all the things of the past and embrace your past is to humble yourself. But 1 Peter 5, 6, and 7 says it this way: humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand. I would add, trust His power. Trust His sovereign plan. Nowhere in the Bible does it say you must understand God's plan. The Bible says you must embrace His plan. And in time, He will show you how it all works together for, say it, good. Good. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that He may lift you up in due time. You know what that means? It literally means that He may bring you to a place of honor in due time. Finally, the verse says, cast all your anxiety, all your cares on Him, because He cares for you, and that is God's goodness. God is good, and God is great. Embrace your past. Trust His sovereignty, and you'll be surprised what God will do in your life. So, embrace your new life in Christ. Secondly, embrace your past. Doesn't mean you condone evil or sin, but you embrace the God, the sovereign God of your destiny, that your past somehow is part of His plan. Thirdly, embrace your brokenness. Embrace your brokenness. This world throws away broken things. Broken things are despised. Damaged goods are rejected. And sometimes that includes people. But God loves and uses broken people. Listen to Psalm 34, verse 18. The Lord is close to. The Lord is close to. Who? The brokenhearted. And saves those who are crushed in spirit. The word crushed is a very interesting word in the Hebrew. It means dust. You say, I don't get it. Crushed and dust. Well, think about it. If something is dust, it has been broken down to being very small. To be crushed in spirit is to become dust. In Isaiah chapter 57 and verse 15, so what did this previous verse in Psalm say? The Lord is close to dust, people who are dust, who've been crushed. Are you with me? Isaiah 57, 15 says, God speaking, I dwell in the high and lofty place with. With who? Who dwells in the high and holy place with God? Who is in that place of habitation with Him? He says, I dwell in the high and holy place with him who has a crushed spirit. Same word. He dwells with those who are dust. When we are crushed, broken by life circumstances, we will either get better or bitter. But God, listen, God is attracted to broken people. And He is repelled by the proud. And when you and I embrace our... Now, one of two things is happening from your past. You're either rejecting it all, you hate it all, you push it away. But if you will embrace what's happened to you, watch this. When you embrace it, brokenness will occur. It'll crush you. In our brokenness, we identify with our Savior. Listen to this. Isaiah 53 says about our Lord Jesus, He was wounded for our transgressions. He was crushed, made dust for our iniquities. So the Holy Spirit, listen, the Holy Spirit is doing something very special when we're broken people, because He shows us that we can identify with the Lord Jesus Christ because He was crushed to dust as well for our salvation. And we then understand why Paul the Apostle said, oh, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering, being conformed to His death. In Jewish tradition, when someone was broken and grieving, they would express it by taking off their regular garments and put on sackcloth and ashes. And they would take the ashes, that's what? Dust, and put it on their head. And they would bow down in great humility and brokenness. And as I said a moment ago, God is attracted to such brokenness that comes from the heart. When God sees this brokenness, He draws near. He comes. And He gives the broken beauty for ashes. My God, get this. I've got dust on my head. I'm broken. And God comes to me in my brokenness and He dusts off my head. And He puts beauty on my head. The word literally means a festive headdress that you would put on when you're ready to celebrate. He comes to the broken and He gives them a festive headdress in the place of their ashes and dust. My God. He comes and He anoints the broken with the oil of joy in the place of their mourning. And He comes and He gives the broken a garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness they're walking around in. Why does He do all this? Because it is time to rejoice with the God of your salvation. That's what He'll do for you. He does it for everyone who's been broken. And He'll do it for you. And He then takes what has been broken and remakes it into something better. That's what He wants to do for you. Something that He can use for His glory. In Jeremiah 18 we read, "The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying, 'Arise and go down to the potter's house. And there I will cause you to hear my words.' Then I went down to the potter's house. And there he was, making something at the wheel. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again into another vessel, as it seemed good to the potter to make. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, 'O house of Israel,'" I'm going to restate that for us today. "O broken child of mine, can I not do with you as this potter, says the Lord? Look, as the clay is in the potter's hand, hear it, so you are in my hand." The New Living Translation translates verse 4 or verse 5 this way: "The jar he was making did not turn out as he had hoped." Is there anyone here? Things just have not turned out like you'd hoped. So he crushed it into a lump of clay again. Literally, he took the marred vessel, slammed it down on the table to crush it and make it a lump of clay again, and then he started spinning the wheel. And he remade the vessel. Brokenness precedes being remade. Amen? A divine makeover of extraordinary purpose and love. One of two things is happening and has happened in your life about your past. You are either running from it, wanting to get away from it, rejecting it, hating it. And God the Holy Spirit is saying, trust the good and great God and embrace your brokenness. And when you embrace your brokenness, I can testify, God will birth something really great in your heart. He will remake your life and you won't become perfect, but you're in a better place than you've ever been. That's the God I trust. That's the God we serve. And that's the God who loves you and has a remarkable plan for your life. He has a destiny for you to fulfill. Let's bow for prayer right here now. And I want to ask you, maybe for the very first time, instead of avoiding brokenness and despising brokenness and pain and the difficulties of your life, I'm asking you to embrace it. Wow. Because when you embrace your brokenness, you open up your heart to the God who says, "Child of mine, I'm coming. I am on my way now to remake your life. And I can do it, and I love you, and I will do it. Let me have, you are in my hand. Trust me. Don't run anymore. Don't flee anymore. Don't try to hide your pain. Bring it to me. All of it. And I, in your brokenness, will remake your life over again. Broken but remade. Lord, I pray. I pray for your people right now. I pray that all of us are saying, "Lord, I'm not going to run anymore. I'm not going to hold this against you anymore. I'm going to embrace my brokenness. Oh, God, I know you will rush in with that wonderful love and grace and fill that empty spot in their hearts. I know that you will begin to remake them in a way that they cannot imagine. Because brokenness precedes being remade. I pray, Father, that all of us will make this decision." Our heads are bowed. Our eyes are closed. I'm just going to give you a moment just to talk to God in your own heart. Tell him how you feel. Bring your pain. Bring your past. Bring your brokenness to him. Some of you have to go get it because you've hidden it. You're trying to run away from it. My child, God says, don't run anymore. Talk to him. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Oh, Father, there are so many things we don't understand, but by faith, we embrace you and we embrace our brokenness and we bring it to the cross of Jesus. Thank you, Father, for doing a deep work of grace in each and every one of us. In Jesus' name we offer our thanks. Amen. I have a few more things to share with you. Just give me a few more moments. Having embraced your new life in Christ, we're recreated. We have a new life. Our past gets in the way, so God brings brokenness into our life. And if we'll embrace that brokenness, then we will know his power to redeem and to remake us. Now that we have done that, and we've trusted in his goodness and his greatness, we need to unpack our suitcase. Everybody has a bag, a suitcase, that you brought out of your childhood. I meant to bring one up here and I didn't, but here we are carrying this bag around. And if you've seen the skit guys, they have one where the guy just gets buried in his baggage, you know. But anyway, you got this bag. So what I'm going to ask you to do is set it down, your suitcase, and open it up. And when you look inside, these are things from your past. You're going to pull out some things that are really, really good. and you're going to pull out some things that are not good. You're going to pull out some other things that are really, really bad. Got it? Think about that. What do we do? What we do is any of the good that is from our past, we emulate, which means they're blessings. Praise God. Maybe you can't think of any blessing that has been passed to you from your heritage. I don't know, but if you look hard, there probably is. Maybe just a good work ethic or something. There was something passed on to you that was good. Everything that is bad, you eradicate. You get rid of it. You're not doomed to repeat history, but you will if you don't eradicate what's in your bag. Unpack your suitcase. You see, these things I would call in the bag that are bad are sinful patterns of living. Sinful patterns. Sinful patterns are easily passed on from generation to generation. And Jacob's sinful pattern was what? Deception. His children became deceivers, and on it goes. And not only, well, we could talk about other things, but these sinful patterns can be passed on, and they will be if we don't do something about it. But the patterns of sin can be broken and brought to an end. Listen to the promise of God. Exodus chapter 20, verse 5. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me. But showing mercy to thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments. In other words, no matter what your past has been, no matter what is in your bag that is bad or sinful patterns that Satan wants to pass on to you, you can say by the grace of God, it stops here, it stops now. Are you with me? By the grace of God, this will not continue because I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. We're going to see how Joseph's brothers continued their sinful patterns. Matter of fact, I thought about this morning. They hated. They had hate in their heart. And they had years to deal with it, and they never did. Their hate got worse and worse and worse until they wanted to kill Joseph. Talk more about that probably next week. They lacked character. They lacked faith. But Joseph was different. He had a spiritual kinship with his father that the others did not have. I want you to understand that all those other brothers could have had the same destiny, a good destiny, given to them. No one's left out. But if you don't let go of your past, if you don't eradicate these things, they will simply be passed on. I'm almost done. Listen carefully. Imagine that living your life is like driving a car. You have a windshield that allows you to look ahead to where you're going, and you have rear view mirrors that allow you to see where you've been, right? Good drivers keep their gaze on the road ahead, and they glance in their rear view mirrors when necessary. But if you gaze in the rear view mirror, you will continually have destructive accidents. When your past is in your present, it will hinder your future. Now let's put all this together. If we're not supposed to gaze in the rearview mirror but glance when we need to, let me give you this illustration. Let's say you're driving along and hear a loud noise in the back of your car. You look in the rearview mirror and you see your muffler has fallen off in the road. Anybody ever had that happen? Okay. What do? You stop. You go back. You deal with the problem. Then what do? So you noticed a problem. You need to go back and take care of it. Then what do? You get back in your car. You get back on the road. And you continue to head towards your destination. And my brothers and sisters, your destination is your destiny. So may the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, our God in heaven, may He allow us to be looking through the windshield to the road ahead because our past has been dealt with. And when something else comes up, we glance in the rearview mirror and we take care of the problem, but we keep heading towards our destiny.